Go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, if you want to grab the Bible that's in the pew rack right in front of you and turn to page 506, that's where you should find Psalm 107, whether it's in one of our Bibles, your own, the app on your phone. I really do hope that you will find Psalm 107 in one of those places this morning, because we believe that the Bible is what matters. God's Word is what matters. If you're a guest here, you're checking us out online, we say this at the beginning of every message, that we believe that this is the inspired Word of God Himself, that God has given us His Word so we can know Him and love Him and follow Him and worship Him and praise Him. And we don't think that what I have to say right now really matters much at all, unless it agrees with what God's Word says. And so that's why we always encourage you to look at God's Word for yourself. We'll have the words on the screen as well. But we view the message on Give Praise Sundays as sort of part sermon, part testimony. And so as I've been preparing this week, I've been thinking through this last year, and maybe you've done the same, and wow, what a year, right? It's been a lot, and maybe if you've been thinking through it, that you have similar thoughts. Maybe you've been thinking, wow, or yikes, or never again, so glad it's over. And someone said to me the other day, like, can you believe 2021 is already over? And I was like, yes, actually. Yes, I can. I'm surprised it took so long. Like, it seemed longer than normal. Maybe that's how you felt. Maybe 21 was a long year for you. Maybe it felt short. Maybe it's easy for you to find reasons to praise this morning, or maybe praise is more difficult to come by. But I want to start 2022 by praising God for His goodness, because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good, and we're going to do that from Psalm 107. Verse 1 of Psalm 107 says this: Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. So this song, that's what the Psalms are, this song opens with a chorus that I see as a premise. And the premise is that God deserves our thanks for who He is, because He is good and His love endures forever. And the rest of the psalm is written in a way to support the premise of verse 1. But one thing that you'll notice when reading the Bible, and I hope that you plan on reading the Bible this year, by the way. We have Bible reading plans out in the foyer. We have them on the Bible app that we'd love to invite you to if you're not already in one. Looking forward, we have a couple different tracks through the Bible app this year. If you want to go through the whole Bible in a year, if you want shorter Bible reading plans, we have both of those. And it's January 2nd. You're not too far behind if you haven't started yet. We'd love to get you hooked up to that today. But one thing you'll notice as you read through the Bible is that passages about the goodness of God aren't usually describing a life of ease for His people. The Bible doesn't prove God's goodness by the easiness of life, or by prosperity, or by health. The Bible proves God's goodness with His presence in the trouble of life, as Eva was saying in her testimony earlier. It proves His goodness with His presence. And that is what David does for us here, even as he describes people finding themselves in messy places. And I actually like the way Pastor David Jeremiah laid out this song when he said that there are four pictures of life circumstances that the psalmist describes. And I think these are probably pictures that you might be able to relate to, because we all find ourselves in messy places, in the brokenness of this earth. And sometimes life can feel like a desert. And that's what verses 4 and 5 are about. He says, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Sometimes life can be like a desert. Maybe 2021 for you was quite dry or barren. Oases of spiritual or emotional nourishment seem few and far between. You didn't see a lot of fruit or a lot of growth or even a lot of life as you looked around you. And sometimes this is how life feels. It feels like a desert, and we're hungry and we're thirsty for more than what we can find. And it's likely that the psalmist has the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites in his mind as he writes here. Sometimes life can be like a desert. Sometimes life can be like a prison. Verses 10 and 11. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Maybe in 2021 you felt trapped. You were going through times of affliction and there was no way to escape messy places. Sometimes life can feel like a hospital. Verses 17 and 18. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. The psalmist is describing those who are sick, and they're so sick they're on death's door, and they don't even want to eat. They are suffering and in pain, and maybe you've had times like that in the last year, and you can identify with that messy place. Sometimes life can be like a terrible storm at sea, verses 23 through 27. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. So their ship is going up and down in poetic fashion. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Have you been at your wits' end? At any point in the last year, you don't feel like you can get your balance, whether literally or figuratively. Maybe you would describe the events of your life like a dangerous storm that you can't seem to get out of, and the waves of life just keep crashing in, and every time you try to get a calm breath, another wave crashes in again. Sometimes life can be like a desert or a prison or a hospital or a storm. But verses 6, 13, 19, and 28 describe the same response of the people in all four of these messy places. 6, 13, 19, and 28 all have this same line. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Have you ever noticed that the more desperate the situation, the shorter the prayer? I think there's a direct correlation between how desperate your situation is and how short your prayer is. You probably could make a graph to illustrate that, like a line graph to show that going up and down. Long, thought-out, eloquent prayers are usually the byproduct of having time to think, right? And time to meditate and times of peace and calm, and there's a place for that. But when you are in a storm, or when you're in the hospital, the prayers get much shorter and to the point, I think, don't they? In those circumstances, when you're really desperate, your prayer might go something like this. Help, right? The end. Just, God, help right now. I don't know about you, but I've prayed a lot of short prayers in the last year. I've prayed a lot of simple prayers in the last year, because there's been a lot of storms, and there's been a lot of hospitalizations, and there's been a lot of times when you feel trapped without a way of escape, and I don't always know what to pray, but I know we need God to help now. I know we need him to intervene. I know we are needy. Right? Have you thought to yourself at some point in the last year, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too much for me right now. In those moments of weakness and crisis, we're actually feeling what is always true, because we can't do this on our own, in and of ourselves. God, help us. Now, it's a good time to remember the premise of this song. This premise of Psalm 107 is that God is good, that his love endures forever, but these situations don't really feel like proof of his goodness, do they? These situations are usually when we question the goodness of God. Shouldn't songs about God's goodness involve meadows, right, and beaches and sunshine and health and obedient children and blissful marriages? Isn't that what songs about the goodness of God? That's what my song about the goodness of God would be like if I could choose what the verses would be. So what's going on here? At least part of the answer to that question is that the premise of God's goodness is proven by our God who answers simple prayers. In all of these places, all four of these circumstances, God's response to their cry for help is the same. In verses 6, 13, 19, and 28, they all finish with the same saying, "And he delivered them from their distress." And he delivered them from their distress. This psalm is about people who have been redeemed. And did you notice in the song that sometimes the crisis was a result of the people's own doing? So sometimes it was their fault that they were in the prison or that they were in the hospital bed. In other psalms, following the Good Shepherd can bring us to the valley of the shadow of death. Here the psalmist describes the storm as something that God brings. That's what it says in verse 25, that he commanded and raised the stormy wind. And this is why we cry out to God, because we know he has the power to do something about the storm. He is in charge even when we don't understand what he is doing. But the psalmist also presents some of those in crisis as rebellious, and some of those in crisis as sinful. So sometimes God brings the storm, and other times we bring the crisis on ourselves. And I think in some ways it's easier to cry out to God when the crisis is not our own doing. Maybe in those moments we come to God with a "what gives" prayer. Like, what in the world is going on here? Why are you doing this? Like, explain yourself. Sort of like Job came to God. Just tell me why you did this, or at least get me out of this mess. But when we are in a mess and it's our own fault, I think that's when we tend to think that we need to get ourselves out of it on our own as well. When you know that you got yourself into the mess, sometimes you think you need to fix it on your own. Like when one of my kids breaks something and they try to fix it with scotch tape before I find out. I can't tell you how many times my kids have made a worse mess trying to cover up another mess that they had already made. You've experienced that as parents? It just makes it worse. And I don't think we grow out of that, because a lot of people think they need to get themselves put back together before they can come to God. They feel they have to prove that they can fix the mess that they created on their own first. But hear me. One reason we give God praise today and every day is because we don't have a "you got yourself into this mess, so you need to get yourself out of it" God. That's not the God that we serve. We have a God who is a "you got yourself into this mess and I will come to you" God. That's the God that we serve. "You got yourself into this mess, so I'm coming to join you." That's what we just celebrated at Christmas. That God saw us trapped in our own mess, in the brokenness of our humanity, in a hopeless crisis of our own making, and he came to us. He didn't say, "You get what you deserve. How do you like that? You need to get yourself out of it if you got yourself there." Instead, he got what he didn't deserve. Our Redeemer was brought low. Jesus temporarily gave up the ability to walk and the ability to talk so he could identify with our human experience from infancy to adulthood, literally from the womb to the tomb. And in the middle of all of that, Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I failed to live. He was the standard of goodness that no one else could ever meet. Yet he was willing to be treated as the worst of criminals, beaten, bloodied, and nailed to a piece of wood, dying the death that you and I deserve to die, absorbing the just wrath of God for our sin in our place. Jesus didn't just meet us where we are. He went where we deserve to go so we don't have to. That's the God that we serve. And then he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and the grave. So if you place your faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection of Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. The righteousness of Jesus is credited to your account. You become part of the eternal family of God. Jesus is the living water for those who are thirsty in the desert. He is freedom for the prisoner. He is healing for the dying, and he is the calmer of the storm. He is the ultimate answer to the cries of Psalm 107, and that's why we give him praise. Amen, church? I love the encouragement of verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Two questions I think you should ask based on this verse. The first is, have you been redeemed? Have you been set free from your sin? And if yes, the second question, does your life say so? Does it say so? Can people tell that the work of God, that the work that God has been accomplishing throughout history is the work that he has done and is doing in your life? Are you telling people that you are part of the greater story of redemption? If we have been redeemed, we should say so. We should say so. If the greatest rescue has taken place in our lives should say so. Which leads us back to the chorus of verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We give thanks today because God is good, and his goodness is not just good for him, it is good for us, because the goodness of God is not what keeps us separated from him forever, though that could be what happened in his goodness. No, but instead, the goodness of God is displayed in a love that is everlasting, a love that lasts longer than the desert, a love that lasts longer than the hospital stay, longer than the imprisonment. It lasts longer than the storm because his love endures forever. And there are a lot of passages that we could turn to see this theme. But the reason I chose Psalm 107 is because this is the passage that the pastor turned to at my brother-in-law's funeral. And he talked about how Becca's brother Andrew was redeemed and how his life said so. And he talked about giving thanks to the Lord because Andrew had a favorite saying that he repeated constantly. It's that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And I still believe that. And in full transparency, thinking about a testimony from 2021 was pretty daunting for me because it certainly wasn't my favorite year and not one I would want to do again. And I don't understand a lot of things that happened, and I'm trying to be at peace with knowing that it'll probably be years before I understand everything that transpired, if I ever do, this side of eternity. From an earthly perspective, it is often hard to make sense of everything that takes place. So in light of everything that has transpired in the last year, I think my testimony is God is good all the time. And I still believe that. And not only is God good, he never presses pause on his goodness. He is good all the time because he is the definition of what is good. It's who he is. And I don't know what 2022 will bring. We don't know what the rest of today will bring. But we know for certain that God is going to be good this year because he is good all the time. And I know he answers simple prayers even when we don't feel like he's answering them the way we want him to. And I know that if we have been redeemed, our lives should say so. We should give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Amen, church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love that lasts longer than the desert, that lasts longer than the hospital stay, longer than the imprisonment, longer than the storm, because it endures forever. Thank you that we have the opportunity now to worship you for your goodness and worship you for your love through the taking of communion. Recognizing that we can go into 2022 in relationship, in harmony, in fellowship with you, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus did in our place. There's no better way for us to start this year but by worshiping you in this way and remembering the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross, so that way you could save us just as we are. So I pray that when we start to question what you're doing, when we start to doubt your love, and we start to doubt your goodness, that first you would point our eyes once again to the cross, and second, that you would reveal your presence to us in the midst of our trouble. Thank you, Jesus, that we have reason to praise you today and every day because of who you are and what you've done. So we're going to do that today. We're going to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.